Welcome back to Space Castle. It is your clubhouse and ours for all things nerdy. My name is DT.
My name is Redwine Alex, part-time librarian, Winnebago thief, king killer dude, Molotov, dong hammer. What am I missing? I've got one in there. Master and Space Commander. Let's go.
There you go. That's the one. The most important one. Master and Space Castle Commander.
Oh, so it expands. Here we go.
This is how it always goes, man.
And we are joined by...
Seth.
Guys, me being somebody who consumes all kinds of media across various platforms, I am always thinking about how many goddamn fucking streaming services there are right now and which ones to subscribe to, which ones to drop, because I feel like I'm subscribed to too many at this point. Mm-hmm. And oddly enough, we had an amazing listener question sent in by Chad via the hotline we set up, which, by the way, is 970-591-3577. But Chad has an amazing question because you could tell he was probably out at the bar hanging out because his wife was on his case about all the streaming services they're dealing with right now. And he sent us this question. I think we should listen to the question. If you guys are up for it, this might be the topic of the episode.
Yeah.
Because we can talk about Chad's problem. We can solve that problem for him. We can also talk about our own feelings about all these goddamn streaming services that are just... At this point, it's just fucking cable all over again, except you're buying everything piecemeal. Like,
it's exactly what it is. I love this idea. I love it. Let's listen to Chad's question. I'm nervous and excited. Let's do it.
It's not like your wedding night, Alex. Relax.
Come on, man. You know, I'm just a bundle of nerves.
All right, here we go.
What up, Space Castle? This is Chad, and I've got a problem. I've been drinking a little bit, and my wife has given me the ultimatum. We have to cut our streaming service budget. And so I've spent the last hour and a half at a World of Beer trying to figure out what streaming services we subscribe to and which ones we can get rid of and pick back up whenever some interesting shit comes on. So I want to know, out there in deep space, how do you guys manage from month to month or even from year to year your streaming services? That's it.
What an excellent question. Wow.
Fantastic. Welcome to Lifeline, where us and Dr. Drew are going to fix Chad's marriage.
You know, he said he'd been drinking a little bit, but he's fucking really articulate for drinking a bit.
I was going to say articulate as well.
If anybody's seen Real Drunk episodes, I am not that way when I drink.
Yeah, if I've been at World of Beer for longer than 10 minutes, like, we're not going to be able to leave a coherent voicemail.
I have so many thoughts on streaming services.
So many. Yeah. Let's fix Chad's situation here. I think we've got some recommendations.
Okay, let's kick this off real quick. Just get rid of Netflix. There's nothing but shit on there besides Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. And it's a really fucking good show, but it's all there's left on Netflix anymore.
No.
Ooh.
I have a point of contention. Peaky Blinders.
Peaky Blinders, Umbrella Academy. Netflix has some bangers, dude. The thing with Netflix and the reason why you think it sucks now is because it puts out like 35,000 times more content than anybody else.
True.
So, of course, it's going to have some real bombs in there.
You know, I say that, right? And one of the only primary streaming services I don't have is Netflix.
Hulu and Netflix are both going to start requiring you to VPN into your own home address, by the way, because it locks the service to your IP address. Hulu already does. Netflix is going to. So if you access the service outside of your IP, no good.
Early tangent here, but that's a topic for another episode, right? It's like the security measures that will happen when we've evolved as a species to have a little bit more understanding of how our data is being transferred from person to person.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about that sometime.
I know you've got thoughts, Seth. We've talked about this before. I know DT's got a lot of thoughts on it too. So,
yeah, we'll chalk that up for another topic.
All right, back to Chad.
Don't count Netflix out just yet, man. It's dropped some balls for sure.
It's grown up now.
All adults make mistakes, man. It happens when you grow up.
If I had to drop any of the streaming services I'm currently subscribed to right now, Netflix would be the one. It would be.
Let's start out with this way. Let's go down the list, the three of us. What streaming services are we subscribed to currently?
Okay, Seth, you're on the top of my Zoom meeting window, so you go first.
Okay, I am subscribed to two. I guess technically three.
Just two?
Two? What?
Dude, fuck streaming services. I don't want cable again. What the fuck? I haven't had cable in 15 years.
This has been Space Castle, your clubhouse nerds for all things nerdy.
So in my household, so Nicole is subscribed to other streaming services that I'm not. In my household, we have four. Apple TV Plus, Netflix, Curiosity Stream, and Nebula, which is one I will advocate for later in this episode, I am sure, and Disney Plus. That's it.
Okay. I'm in the middle of this very, very sexy Zoom meeting sandwich, so I'll go next. I have Netflix. I have Disney Plus. I have Hulu. I have Apple TV Plus. I have Shudder. And I think that's it.
I like the esoteric choices here. Okay, Alex, hit me with yours. We're discovering a trend, and I'm hoping you'll uphold that.
Oh, I have Amazon Prime TV.
Oh, yeah, I guess I have that too, but that doesn't count because it comes with my Prime membership.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you got Prime, you could, yeah, everybody's got Prime.
I don't subscribe to Prime for the fucking streaming service.
I kind of do, though.
Wow. Now that The Expanse is over, what the fuck is it for?
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is on there. It's a phenomenal show.
The Boys? Invincible?
Oh, yeah, The Boys is Amazon. I forgot about that.
Yeah, what do I have? I have everything because I have a wife and children. So, and I have me.
You've got me too.
Thank you.
And my axe.
So I've got access to Netflix and HBO Max if I want them, but I don't pay for them.
I've got HBO Max too. I have too many of these fucking things. I can't keep them straight. I've got HBO Max as well. Damn.
All right, standard ones. I've got Hulu. I've got Amazon Prime. Obviously, I do not have Netflix. I've got Disney Plus. I've got Discovery Plus, which I think...
Wow.
Yeah, we've got Discovery Plus. We've got Paramount Plus, which is just a trial right now.
I don't see you holding on to that after the trial period's over.
I wouldn't.
No.
And then Apple TV, you know, we've talked about it. I'm a huge fanboy of Apple TV.
Yeah.
And then I think that might be it. I've got a couple other like trials that are interesting, but
Pornhub.
Well, okay, hold on. I think I also technically have Hulu because doesn't Hulu come with your Spotify subscription?
It used to. It doesn't now, but I've got Hulu now because it comes with my cell phone plan.
Wild.
With T-Mobile. Yeah. They can't give this shit away.
No shit.
But you're not missing anything because there's absolutely fucking nothing of value on Hulu at all. And everything is interrupted by commercials. So fuck it.
And unless you pay for Hulu Plus.
No, not even then. You will still get commercials on their, what do they call it? High audience mark shows.
Yep, exactly.
Fuck Hulu, dude.
Nobody fucking cares about How I Met Your Father anyway. So ugh. Fuck Hulu, sorry.
Oh, man.
What a fucking disaster that show turned out to be.
Yeah, big surprise. Chad, look. Get Apple TV Plus. It has so many amazing shows. Severance, season one, just finished up. Fuck, that's my favorite TV show currently airing on TV right now. It is so good.
Adam Scott is just absolutely fucking destroying in that show. The whole cast is. It's lovely.
Absolutely wonderful show. It feels like a fresh breath for TV. Like, it feels new, which is nice. So get Apple TV Plus, man. For All Mankind. Ted Lasso, Severance,
Mayor of Easttown.
Apple TV is definitely, I think, currently the king of best content for streaming.
I don't like the original films as much as I like some other streaming platforms, though they're not bad. They're just not like knock your socks off. I've seen probably four or five of them, but the TV is really where Apple TV takes off, and it's so good with For All Mankind, Mayor of Easttown. Whenever I'm in a bad mood, I'll just go watch a YouTube clip of Ted Lasso and I feel better about myself.
Ted Lasso, I don't even think this is hyperbolic. Ted Lasso legitimately made my life better. Made my life better. Not just because I was entertained by a TV show for a few hours or whatever. Like, it legit, like, affected my life.
Can I interject for a second?
Absolutely.
Why is it hyperbole and hyperbolic and not hyperbolic?
Okay, look, DT...
Oh, shit.
This podcast is an hour long, and we don't have enough time to get into... Okay. It's the same English rule that gives us... a rebel and to rebel. It's a shifting of verb, noun, adjective.
That answer makes perfect sense to me. So, okay, cool. I'm satisfied. Thank you, Professor.
Okay.
Moving forward.
Apple TV Plus, watch it. It's the best. Plus, I wanted to interject, end of May, I believe, is a show on Apple TV. I cannot think of the name of it for the life of me. It is a dinosaur documentary series.
With David Attenborough. Yeah. It
is narrated by David Attenborough.
Fucking legend.
Directed by Jon Favreau. And Hans Zimmer is doing the score for the show. What the fuck kind of dinosaur show is this going to be? I don't care.
It's going to be batshit fucking awesome. It's gonna be sick. Jon Favreau, he may not be the best live action director. His Star Wars stuff, we don't need to open up this can of worms. And I'm going to end this conversation as soon as I fucking start because I don't want to get into it. But his Star Wars stuff has been very hit and miss after The Mandalorian Season 1. And the Lion King movie he did, the technology was fucking incredible, but everything looked really fucking weird because the animals were hyper-realistic and they were all like talking and singing and they all had dead eyes. But Jon Favreau being the head of a show where it's just going to be like straight-up nature documentary and just being able to play with that technology and make everything look as realistic and accurate as possible, that's going to be fucking bomb.
Let's go!
It's called Prehistoric Planet.
Thank you. Thank you.
Really, really jazzed for that. I saw that. I was like, oh my goodness. And it was funny because I had just been talking to Seth about Chef.
Which is excellent.
It was a good movie.
It was really, really good.
People loved it. I loved it. I thought it was excellent.
Chef is the kind of movie that has a movie poster with like a food truck at the bottom. And then the title Chef is mid poster. And then the entire upper half is like Sundance Awards and stuff. That's the kind of movie it is.
And then way in the background, there's John Leguizamo. Yeah.
Who's actually excellent in
He's
the movie.
He's amazing. He's fantastic in that movie. Yeah, I loved it. Anyway.
Get Apple TV Plus. Get rid of Netflix. Let's go on to the elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
Fucking Disney Plus. Let's just fucking tear into it now.
I have the exact same feelings for Disney Plus as I do for Amazon Prime. And that is...
You think it's absolutely worthless.
No, that is... I hate how my corporate overlords has built a thing that I need so desperately. Okay, look, you've got new shit, right? The Mandalorian series is great. Book of Boba Fett, while, you know, mediocre, is still better than a lot of shit on Netflix. It's fine.
Eh.
Yeah.
I'm going to let you finish.
On top of the new stuff, you have Disney's back catalog. You cannot beat old Disney movies. You just can't.
That is truth right there.
It's worth paying $7. It's also like the cheapest one. It's worth paying $7 just for old Disney movies, man.
It's also not just like the animated classics. It's all the new stuff like right after it leaves theaters. It's all the classic Disney Channel like cartoons and series. It's all of the old movies like Mighty Ducks and whatnot. It's especially if you got kids and you want to reintroduce them to that old stuff. Like it's a gold mine. It really is.
You have to for kids. If you want to, like me, watch Brink from 1998, there's one way to do it. You cannot
Soul
buy
Soul Skaters for life, bro. Let's go.
You can't buy a DVD of it. You get to watch it on Disney Plus, and that's it.
Yeah, if you want to get rip-roaring fucking drunk and order a pizza and watch all three Mighty Ducks movies in succession, I've never done that. But if you wanted to do it, you could absolutely do it. No, I've totally fucking done that. Dude, that was the first thing I fucking did when all those movies got added to Disney Plus. I was like, clear my fucking Friday. I'm going to go fucking hang out with Charlie Conway and fucking Fulton Reed and get rip-roaring drunk on craft beer and eat an entire fucking pizza by myself while watching all three of these movies. It was fucking glorious.
That sounds wonderful.
You're 5 hours in going, make him make the first move, Conway!
Two-way hockey, that's what I'm talking about!
What is the last one you would get rid of if you were forced to back it up?
The last one I would get rid of is Disney.
I have to have it. I have children. I rely on Encanto being... at my fingertips at all times.
Disney Plus would be the last streaming service I got rid of.
The last one I would get rid of, and this is going to be kind of weird, would be HBO Max. There's so many movies and so many old series, both like classic series and like newer series that have ended up landing there. The variety of stuff is just immense. It is massive.
Like what?
Like they've got old like sitcoms, like fucking like Family Matters and Full House. Because of the whole Warner Brothers connection. So they've got all those old sitcoms. They've got all the animated Batman movies and live action movies. They've got all the DC stuff. They've got the Warner Brothers movies as well. Like the catalog on HBO Max is gigantic. they've got fucking Steven Universe and stuff on there too. All kinds of Cartoon Network shit as well.
Oh, I thought Steven Universe was like only on Hulu.
No, no, they've got Steven Universe. They've got Steven Universe Future. They've got the Steven Universe movie.
Cool.
I don't know how they have the rights to do all this stuff on streaming, but the catalog for HBO Max is just staggering. It's like $15 a month, but that high price tag comes with immense value. It's nuts.
All right. So Seth and I were talking about, or at least he pitched it in the same way that I'm sort of re-pitching it, which is exactly the same thing I realized after thinking about this for 30 seconds. Like, what do you have that is necessary to have? And then what would you get rid of last? It's the same question. So we have Apple TV, we have Disney Plus. Like, what's the next thing that you would hang on to?
HBO Max is pretty good. Like, I gotta say, I obviously don't know its full catalog, and I've only ever subbed to it to watch like Game of Thrones when that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other show that I can't even remember right now.
That's another thing, man. Like, you've got Game of Thrones, you've got The Sopranos, you've got all the original HBO programming, which is just phenomenal as well.
Yeah.
So you've got Entourage, if you're into that. I was super into that when I was in my 20s. I fucking loved Entourage. I was going to film school and like watching silly stories about a dude trying to get an Aquaman movie made, which just seems silly now because they did it with Jason Momoa and whatnot. But good series. It's problematic now because it's about a bunch of guys in Los Angeles trying to get laid all the time, and it's a little misogynistic in hindsight. But for the time, the show was really enjoyable. But I think we need to break this down for Chad. We need to take all of our streaming services and break down which ones we would keep and build him a list of five to make his wife happy and save his marriage so he doesn't fly out to Colorado and end up living on my couch.
I have a pitch for one that I will include, because honestly, it's ridiculous not to. And this is why I say that. So it's CuriosityStream. CuriosityStream is also partnered with another streaming service called Nebula. Nebula is like paid YouTube channels, right? So YouTube creators make Nebula TV shows that are only available there. It's got some great shit. CuriosityStream is basically a science and science tangential documentary streaming service. It is fucking amazing. All the documentaries are top notch, and it's like $11 per year.
Yeah.
Ooh.
The value that I get out of CuriosityStream is incredibly disproportional to the price that I pay for it. Definitely recommend that one.
Yeah. Sophie from Self Notes, friend of the podcast, she's got a series on there too, which is really, really good.
Yeah. Tom Scott's got a great one. Wendover Productions. Wendover Productions is a great YouTube channel, but they have a TV show that they just released where the host, Sam, travels around the country trying to do illegal things and not get caught by his producers. And it
that's awesome.
The whole show is about him doing like the stupid laws of illegal stuff, like owning a pet alligator or like having a penny behind your ear in Hawaii, stuff like what? That, like really stupid shit. He breaks a law like on this long road trip. It's very fun. That's an excellent show.
I feel like this is a bonus one.
That's what I was pitching it as. Yeah.
Absolutely necessary to bring it up. I'm just like 91 cents a month for something so awesome sounds pretty great.
Yeah.
Just throw that on there. We'll front that for you, Chad.
If we're gonna throw in bonuses before we get down to the nitty-gritty, my bonus would definitely be Shudder. I've got maybe a couple million subscribers at this point right now, and what it is a streaming service entirely focused on horror movies. So you've got everything from like newer classics to like old classic slashers from like the 60s and 70s and whatnot. And what's really cool is, as a bonus to all that content, they brought Joe Bob Briggs back. They revitalized his old series, The Drive-In. So they're calling it The Last Drive-In, and he'll do a season of episodes, and then every major holiday he'll do a marathon where they'll just play and commentate on thematically like appropriate movies for every holiday. If you know who Joe Bob Briggs is, he's a fucking legend in the realm of like old B movies and whatnot. Like, the man knows everybody, knows everything about those old movies. And Shudder, for like, I think it's like $8 a month or something, it's an absolute like treasure trove. If you love old horror and slashers and suspense movies, it's so much fun. And you can tell the whole network is just run and operated by people who love the material. Well worth the $8 a month. It's fantastic.
I'm not a huge like horror movie or like thriller movie person, but every now and then I enjoy a good slasher film, and those are fun. So I think it's a great bonus though, Shudder.
Yeah. If I was into any of those genres, Shudder would definitely be a go-to for me as well.
I love old horror movies because they're so integral to the history of movies. Like, yeah. They're so innovative in the way they're made. I'm not somebody who gets off on gore porn like Hostel and like all those Eli Roth movies, but I love old slasher movies because they're done for a dime, and they have to be super creative and really, really careful about how they go about doing things, because some of these movies are doing really dangerous shit back in the day. Like, some of this shit is gonzo. Like, the original Chainsaw Massacre is fucking wild, even by today's standards. But it's so integral to how movies are made now, because old horror movie directors were like the pirates back in the day. They were like the rock stars, like the punk rockers, like out there doing whatever the fuck they wanted to do and pulling themselves up by their bootstraps and figuring out how to do it without funding or equipment or whatnot and trying to make something good.
Or permission.
Exactly. And without permission. Yeah. A lot of these old guys were out there in the woods, like trespassing on federal land, making fucking slasher movies and shit. And I love that. I love that. That fucking go-getter, like punk rock mentality when it comes to making movies. So
yeah, I love that, like that pirate call out too, because it's like all these people that watched Hitchcock films and understood montage, and then they were like, I'm gonna like figure out how to inject suspense into this film with like nothing.
Yeah,
with like just my shoestrings and some bubble gum, and they accomplished that, which is wild. Well, that and just shadows, like for me, when I watch like old slasher films, it's like light and its corners and understanding composition really well. Like that's what sticks out to me. And DT hit the nail on the head. It's like, it's all about like the craft more, I feel like, is something you can appreciate about old horror films.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you take an old VHS camcorder and a bucket of corn syrup and make something amazing? I love that.
I mean, that's why I tend to gravitate towards indie films in general, is just like, they got to be extra creative, man. You can't just fix it in post with $200 million in CGI budget.
Bingo.
That's why we love A24. Let's go.
Dude, A24 is the best, man.
Yeah. All right, Alex, do you have a bonus before we move on to breaking this down and saving Chad's marriage?
The only other streaming platform that I had that I got rid of that I don't have anymore is Sling. And it was just so that I could watch NFL and Top Chef. And that was it. My wife wanted Top Chef and I wanted NFL. It's funny because I got the streaming service and I ended up just like, if I wanted to watch a game, I like went out somewhere to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't use Sling for NFL almost ever.
I don't know much about Sling, but like Pluto TV, Is No Go, Peacock, Paramount Plus, like there's a lot that are just like, eh.
I love Pluto TV though.
Why?
Because it's, well, I mean, first of all, it's free, which is amazing. But it's like an old compilation of channels with classic TV. So like they have an American Gladiators channel. It is 24 hours, nothing but American Gladiators. They've got one that's old MTV cartoons. So it's nothing but like Beavis and Butthead and Daria and The Max and like shit like that and like Aeon Flux. But yeah, no, Pluto TV, it's completely free. So there's no reason not to download it on your Roku device or something. But it's nothing but a collection of television streaming channels that are just dedicated to one particular topic. So like I said, it's very esoteric, very niche stuff. But that's really fucking cool. And it's also free. So why not? But Sling TV, I had Sling TV for a minute, and I had it mostly the same reasons Alex did for NFL. And one thing I really loved on it was the El Rey Network by Robert Rodriguez. It was nothing but all like Wuxia and Toho and like Shaw Brothers, like Kung Fu movies and old Kaiju movies. But the thing about Sling TV is they can never get their shit together when it comes to licensing rights from the other networks.
Yeah.
So everything I enjoyed on Sling TV is now gone. And once that was all gone, I got rid of Sling TV. It was not worth the price and not worth the hassle. All right, guys, we need to save Chad's marriage. Everybody, let's do roundtable. Let's pick one streaming service that we absolutely have to have and that Chad has to have that his wife can't say no to. And we'll throw in two extras as well.
Okay, you go first.
HBO Max, you got to. All the movies, all the TV series, all the other, like you've got Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. You've got so much different variety of content. You got to have HBO Max. It's so worth the price.
Mine's Apple TV Plus, man. I've said it a million times. I've said it. One more.
Yeah, it's completely worth it. Apple TV used to be not great. Now it's phenomenal. It's a must-have.
Watch Severance, watch Ted Lasso, watch For All Mankind.
Is it a cop-out to say Amazon Prime? Like, you've got to have Amazon, right? Like, if you don't have Amazon Prime, you've got to have Amazon Prime. I have that for movies for my child. I have it for TV that I enjoy to watch. I mentioned Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is the last one that I've been watching. But, like, all the Die Hard movies are on it right now. Yeah. It won't be by the time some people are listening to this episode, but I jumped into a couple of those just to watch some iconic scenes that I love. You got to have Amazon Prime.
Okay. There's your top three. Honorable mentions. I think Disney Plus.
It's a must have.
That's four. I think four is probably plenty of streaming services to have.
Yeah. You don't even need a fifth one. See, Disney Plus for me, they understand very much what they were doing when they jumped into the streaming service thing. Because every time they had a lull, they had something up else that was coming up soon. It was like, here's Disney Plus and here you get the back catalog, which would have been everything that we needed for the start. Just the archive of Disney movies like DT was talking about earlier. And then you get this tease of, we're going to release Hamilton in July when you really want it. And then wham, you get Hamilton. And then we're just going to continue to give you Lin-Manuel Miranda over the course of the next couple of years. But in between, you're going to get Star Wars, Marvel, like everything that Disney has just spent all of its money pumping into.
Pixar movies.
Pixar being one of the primary ones. You just need to have Disney Plus.
Yeah. I think it's essential. Even if I don't like Moon Knight. Even if I'm fucking terrified of what Obi-Wan is going to be. I'm still going to check it out.
I'm going to watch it.
Dude, it's going to be Ewan McGregor. Like, even if it is the worst Star Wars thing that's ever been made, it's still going to be like a 7 out of 10.
It can't be worse than Book of Boba Fett. It can't be.
No, it can't.
Were you guys ever Obi-Wan for Halloween? Because I definitely was. Second grade.
You still look like Ewan McGregor, and you've got the reddish beard and the hair. Like, yeah, no.
I have bright red hair, man. No. I was never Obi-Wan.
I was Harry Potter in third grade. Like, who gives a shit? All my classmates were like, oh, you should have been Draco. And I was like, fuck you.
All the Harry Potter movies are on HBO Max.
Oh,
there you go.
So, bam. One more reason.
Is that it? Is it just four?
I think it's just four.
I mean, we were going to do five, but honestly, I don't want to tip the scales on Chad's marriage here and fuck things up.
The more you can cut, the better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, axe Hulu, axe Paramount.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Get rid of Netflix if you can. It's not, I don't think Netflix is essential anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
I think there's some stuff that's worth checking out, but as a whole, especially when they keep raising their fucking prices and keep coming up with excuses for doing so, because they want to produce more content, but all the content that Netflix produces themselves is really not that fucking good. It's really not.
I only wanted to see season 6 of Peaky Blinders. That's it.
Yeah, the Peaky Blinders and The Umbrella Academy is like the only thing on Netflix that I really care about these days.
The only thing I watch on Netflix at all is Queer Eye, which is absolutely lovely. I love that show. It's great.
Yeah, I've heard good things, but I've never watched it. And it's not really my like kind of entertainment either, so.
Yeah, I don't like reality TV at all, but the show is so heartfelt and so touching, and those five guys are so goddamn fucking charming and lovely. I can't help but fall in love with all five of them. Yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of the same things about RuPaul's Drag Race, where it's like, yeah. I don't really like reality TV, but Drag Race is like fucking amazing. I also haven't seen that, but I've heard good things about it.
Before we wrap up the segment, because I feel like we've saved Chad's marriage at this point, the best thing to come out of RuPaul's Drag Race was a YouTube channel called and it's two of the drag queens who met on that show and they became fast friends and they started a YouTube series. And it's just like quick, like 5 to 15 minute long episodes about whatever the fuck they want to talk about. They're all very topical. But those two people are so fucking hilarious and they get into such a groove together just riffing on stuff that if you haven't seen it on YouTube, check it out. And I can't even tell you how to spell it. It's just a combination of like U's and N's and H's and like periods. But if you can find it, it should be pretty easy to find because it's a pretty popular YouTube channel. But those two are just hysterical and it's a great channel and also really insightful.
Sick. Also, you can find a lot of really fucking great content on YouTube these days.
True.
Yeah.
I'm not paying for YouTube, so I didn't include it with my list of subscriptions. But yeah.
Yeah, me neither. That's what I was saying, is if you're not finding what you need in these four subscriptions, like there's a lot of really great content there.
Speaking of which, we've got a bunch of videos on there as well. We've been doing Real Drunk, which is going really well and people digging it. We've got I Got Family, which is a series where me and Seth went through every fucking Fast and Furious movie leading up to 9 and did full commentary on it. And we got more content coming soon. So check out our YouTube if you're on YouTube. There's no reason not to. Love you.
Yes. YouTube is the low-key missing piece of this puzzle because...
Oh, yeah. If that was in the pool, YouTube would be my number one.
It might be mine, too. Yeah.
I have spent thousands of hours on YouTube.
It's my thing to do before I go to sleep. I'll put on a couple of videos and fucking learn some shit and then pass out for the night.
It may be my most used app of like out of everything that I have is YouTube. Like, for whatever reason, I'm like, no, I don't want YouTube Red. I don't want YouTube Prime or whatever it's called.
Premium?
Premium. Thank you. And every time I see that, I just like insta-click off of it because I work in marketing and I'm like, fuck you, no.
They dropped YouTube Red. It's dead. Like, they understood that nobody wanted that shit. And like...
Oh, so it was a thing. Okay.
Yeah, it was called YouTube Red. And then with YouTube Red, they also introduced YouTube Music and YouTube Gaming. And then they basically just dropped all three of those and wrapped them into YouTube Premium.
Yeah.
Which is what the current platform is.
Got it.
Still inherently worthless, but you know.
I don't know how much time I've wasted watching YouTube ads. Because if I thought about it realistically, I'd probably be sickened by the amount of time I've spent listening to those. So I don't know why I don't pay for that as my final streaming service.
I started paying for YouTube for the simple reason of supporting the creators. YouTube ads are basically worthless for the creator. They get like tenths of pennies per ad watch. But if a premium subscriber watches that same video, they get like 10 or 15 times more money from that view. So yeah, I got the premium just because I want to support the creators that I subscribe to.
And speaking of worthless ads that nobody's going to listen to, Goldblum always knows when to interrupt us and let us know that it's time to play the messages from Earth.
Perfect timing.
They're not worthless. We're joking. We always throw in an indie podcast spotlight, which we're always very happy with. So listen to our friend's trailer and then go check out their shows once you're done listening to our show. We'll be right back.
I'm Edward October, and I'm here at the October Pod Ranch in the Great Smoky Mountains. Almost every night here, there's a ghost story party around the campfire. In my family, we believe that scary stories are best told around a roaring fire with a bottle of wine. That's why bold individualists everywhere choose Oktoberpod for their retro horror thrills. Our stories are so good because they're told with such care. Understated, moody, and above all, chilling. Why don't you join us? For retro horror of impeccable taste, choose Oktoberpod. Find us on YouTube or at oktoberpodvhs.com. Oktoberpod, retro horror for bold individualists.
Who wants to seg me? I feel like I'm always doing the segging. It's time for somebody to seg me now.
Those were some excellent messages from Earth. Thank you, friends. I feel like somebody's been doing some deep space recon. It wasn't me. I mean, like, I've been out there kind of like poking around and looking at stuff, but I've got to clean my lenses off. The scope's getting a little bit hazy.
What are you looking at, Alex?
Well, DT, why don't you tell us about what you've been looking at?
I want to hear about all your scopes going in places and getting all fogged up, man.
Look, man, my...
Is your wife listening to this?
There are some beautiful stars out there that are getting me hot and bothered, but I feel like you've
got... What are their names?
They're called stars, and... And I feel like you found something that...
I think we just knocked Seth out. I think he just choked for the first time.
They're giant balls of gas.
It's always giant balls of gas with you, isn't it?
Yeah, always. All the time.
Yeah, I've got something. I've got something cool. It's a YouTube channel, which is actually more or less part of a network. And it's called New Retro Wave. And what they do is they curate and they promote a bunch of synthwave and retrowave artists. So if you're into that type of shit, that type of music like I am, like all kinds of like 80s and 90s style synthwave music, you got to check them out. And it's shocking to me that they're not bigger. I always thought they were bigger than they are, but their videos are averaging like maybe 10K with each video that comes out, which is criminal because not only are they doing such an amazing service by boosting up all these artists, the artists that they boost up are phenomenal and they're putting out amazing fucking music. So they've got a network, like I said, and it's primarily the YouTube channel. They've got a website. They do a lot of promotions. They've got merch and they're kind of sort of like a pseudo label where these artists are jumping on board the train and they're receiving, you know, a bunch of promotions and whatnot and like hype to try and get their name out there. But as far as I know, I think it's more or less like nonprofit-ish. Don't hold me to that. But the way they operate, they seem very, very... mostly just passionate about what they do. And it's not a huge operation, but The YouTube channel is very, very professionally done. The videos are gorgeous. They complement the songs very, very well. They do a lot of live streams where the artists are able to come in and like play their playlists or actually like perform live, like DJ style.
Nice.
It's a super fucking dope channel. It needs a bajillion subscribers. Every single one of those videos needs to be just boosted up to like a million views each. And all those artists that are contributing to it need to just become stars, because I love that genre of music. And every single video is a banger. I'll throw on new retro wave while I'm like doing like dishes or cleaning the house or working on some graphic design or something. It's very much up there for me in terms of like chill hop, where you can just throw in your headphones, go to the YouTube channel, just let it roll. And there's never any skips. There's never any songs where like, what am I listening to? I'm not digging this. It's like every single one. It's like, who the fuck is this? I want to know more and see if they've got shit on Spotify or something, because I'm loving it.
Hell yeah.
New retro wave. You got to check them out on YouTube. They need to be massive because the service they're providing is great. And they've turned me on to so much awesome fucking music. All of it is like right up my fucking alleyway too. So yeah.
I really like the extra work that they seem to put into, because like I listen to a pretty good amount of, you know, chill hop and lo-fi and retro wave and synth wave and all that kind of stuff. Most of what I hit is like those, you know, 24-hour live streams that are just streaming a whole bunch of stuff. And sometimes they'll just put the track in the corner most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really nice to hear about a channel that's kind of doing that, but like with some effort and like hosting people. And like, it sounds like it's definitely something I want.
Oh, I've been looking for something that's not Laughing Cow lo-fi chill hop.
Yeah.
Cause I relied on that for the longest time. Seth had like a developer playlist that was basically just like Daft Punk ripoffs for the longest time. And I loved that. Like I was fully into it, but I don't even know. It was funny. It was so funny because Seth just like randomly was like, here, you need to listen to this playlist, and just sent me this thing where it was like a random HTML web page that if you just clicked on something.
It's called Music for Programmers.
There you go. Music for Programmers. And it was amazing for like mixing it up. And I was like, all right, cool. And I had that playing for the entirety of the time that I worked at that agency. Which was about 3 months.
Rip.
And but you know, I've been looking for something else, so this is nice. New retro wave.
Super easy. They've got a custom URL on YouTube, so it's very easy to find. But yeah, man, if you're into shit like Night Runner and bands like that, it's just straight up synth wave, like 80s and 90s, just dope fucking beats. And it's not all like instrumental stuff too. They've got singers and like full bands who do this type of music too that they're promoting as well. And it's fantastic. It's like a hidden gem on YouTube.
Hell yeah.
Even though YouTube is mostly made up of hidden gems. Like
just out of sheer statistics,
yeah.
Man.
Exactly, the sheer numbers.
That's
why
it was built. Like that's if I was the people that built YouTube, I'd be like, I want this to be where you find the hidden gems. But yeah, I'm their newest subscriber. I'm excited. New retro wave.
Dope. Hell yeah.
No, you're not. I'm their newest subscriber.
Damn it.
No, you're not. I just unsubscribed and resubscribed.
We've got a listener question, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, we took one for our main topic, but I don't think that one counts as the, you know, our episode's listener question. We got another one. We have plenty.
Yeah.
Curious bunch of folks that listen to this thing.
We got cool listeners.
Yeah, we do. They're the best.
We should get more. If you guys are listening to this podcast and you're enjoying it, share it with friends, because we like friends.
Yeah.
I once told the cashier at TJ Maxx about our podcast. You should aspire to be that way.
It wasn't Chad, was it?
No. I think her name was Arty.
Cool. That's a cool name.
Alex, we need to get you a Space Castle hoodie.
Yeah, we're all sporting them.
Wearing mine around Seattle, I've literally had, I think more people now than I can count on both my hands have asked me about it.
Ooh.
Sadly, more people subscribe to Seth's hoodie than they do New Retro Wave. I'm kidding. New Retro Wave, we love you so much. Like, keep doing what you're doing.
They have like 1.2 million subscribers, unless I found the wrong channel.
Yeah.
They have subscribers, but nobody's watching the videos for some fucking reason. It's really, really weird.
They got to do the live thing like Laughing Cow.
Yeah, tell your friends about Space Castle. Hit us on Twitter at Space Castle Pod. Also on Instagram at the same handle. Send us questions like many of the people that you hear us talk about literally every episode do on Space Castle Podcast at gmail.com. It shocks me every week how many people hit the Gmail over the Twitter. Like, that's like our thing. It's weird.
Yeah. I think because people are asking us weird shit and they're afraid to do that in a public setting.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
We have a brand new TikTok, and I will do any voiceover challenge that is thrown our way. So anybody listening to this, get after it.
Yo, this is a pure tangent, but I recently went through the semi-newly released Andy Serkis narrated versions of The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy. Fucking dicks, that guy can voiceover act.
Yeah.
God damn, dude.
He's a very talented dude.
Andy Serkis is the talented human I'm learning.
He's a very actor. He's a very good.
Did you say he's a very actor?
Yes. Yes, he is. He does it all. He does the mocap. He does very much good act. He does the mocap. He does the voiceover. He does the directing. He does the just classic acting.
We're going to find out he plays jazz piano too, and I'm just going to fucking fall in love with him.
If Andy Serkis doesn't play jazz piano, I will be deeply upset.
I want Andy Serkis to learn jazz piano and do a jazz album singing as Gollum. I want that for my birthday.
Listen to those audiobooks. Over the years, he's really, really refined his Gollum. I remember when I first listened to it, like when I first watched Lord of the Rings movies, I was like, oh man, this is a little bit grating, which it's supposed to be. But now it's got like weird levels of subtlety in these books. It's wonderful, man.
Yeah.
He's segmented Sméagol and Gollum. So when you listen to it, it's like there's a cool YouTube video where you can see him narrating the Lord of the Rings, and he does a very good job of segmenting the two of them, which like in most impressions doesn't really get split, where it's like the master, and then you get the
shut up, you motherfucker,
and there's like a big difference between the two of them.
Was it Gollum or was it Stripe from Gremlins just now?
I don't know. I can do a Gollum, but I don't.
I know. I've heard it. It's very impressive, actually. Ladies, just so you know, Alex's Gollum is very nice.
One last thing I want to point out. Andy Serkis's version of Smaug in The Hobbit quite literally gave me chills. So
really?
So
he did The
that.
Hobbit too?
Yes.
He got the range. He got that range though.
Having listened to all of them, and I think they just came out in like December of 2021, like very recently. I think The Hobbit is his like magnum opus there. Like the Whoa. Lord of the Rings trilogy is very good, and it is definitely the best version of that book I've ever listened to. But The Hobbit was like fucking amazing.
I want to hear Andy Serkis do Tom Bombadil.
I want to hear Andy Serkis do literally anything.
Yeah.
God, he's so good at everything. Anyways, I don't even remember what we were about to talk about.
Well, we were talking about how Andy Serkis is going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award at like now.
Andy Serkis is going to get the Lifetime Achievement Award next summer and then again when he retires.
Just give the Lifetime Achievement Award to Andy Serkis every year. Let's just call it the Andy Serkis Award. Presented by and presented to Andy Serkis. That would be the one way to get me to watch the Oscars again.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
We have a listener question.
Okay, yeah, let's get to it before we turn this into a fan cast of Andy Serkis, which I'm not opposed to.
Andy Serkis, if you're listening and you want to come on the show and just talk to us about yourself,
yeah,
I'd love to have you.
That'd be rad, yeah.
I'll read the question.
I was going to say, DT, are we, do you have a question?
This one came from Stuart. And the question is, which quadrant of your mouth is objectively the best to start brushing your teeth?
Okay. It's bottom left, period. No,
yes, it is.
No follow-up. Thank you, DT.
That's it.
Alex is conspicuously quiet.
No, it's top right.
Alex,
what
you're kicked off the podcast. It is what, not top
what
right.
What the fuck?
What kind of...
Top right. Explain your fucking wrong answer right now.
Yeah, show your work, you psycho.
I'm dialing 9-1 right now, and I'm going to wait until after this before I hit the last one.
This dentist in Lakewood, when I was young, his name was Quigley. And so his slogan was, if your tooth is wiggly, call Quigley.
Pretty good.
And he taught me, your pattern should be geometric in shape,
Are you doing hexagons and shit when you're fucking brushing your teeth?
Alex is drawing sacred geometry with his fucking toothbrush.
I don't have the necessary accuracy for that. However, it may look more like a Michelangelo or some other sort of painting if you were to use those structs.
Yes, yes. You're an artist with toothpaste. I get it. Why do you start top right? That's absurd.
It's the right side.
It's not the right side because you're right-handed. You always start on the left side.
The right side is the wrong side.
Do you wear your watch on your right or your left hand?
Left.
Left.
Because I'm right-handed. And since you hold your toothbrush in your right hand, unless you're trying to increase your IQ like a crazy person, which does work. I've seen studies.
Well, Seth, you've called me out. I've been doing that for the last 29 years.
Here's the thing, Alex. If I've learned anything in the last 32 years, it's that you're allowed to be wrong. That's fine. It's a valid choice. If you're going to brush top right, that's fine. You have to explain yourself.
It's just natural, man. It's muscle memory. How is that? What are you going to do? Like,
my muscle memory is bottom left.
It's so wild.
Because I was taught the right way.
I don't actually know if I was ever taught how to brush my teeth.
The right way for psychos.
You're in the minority here, my dude.
I know. But I have to stand up.
No. Like, for real. Why? What? Like, going top right is like, puts your wrist weird.
It's just natural. Like, you, here's the thing. Like,
okay, I have a fucked up question.
Oh, no.
This is just going to fuck everything. Alex, when you start at the top right, do you go top left or do you go bottom right next?
I go top left.
Okay. All right. You're not a complete insane person.
I go top left. It's top right.
You're not
top
going
left.
top bottom. Okay. That would just be fucking weird.
No, it's outside. It's outside top right. And then I go outside top left. And then I go inside. I do the
what?
Inside.
You don't complete the quadrant before you move on?
Alex.
I cover all my quadrants. I cover them.
Alex.
So when I was little, we had a toothbrush and it would buzz every.
You are a psychopath.
I'm calling your mom right fucking now.
The dentist said every. It was, you're going to brush your teeth for like 2 minutes roughly. And you're going to go one quadrant to the next quadrant. And I started top right. And then it would get a little buzz on your toothbrush and you move over to the other one.
Alex.
Wow.
I am hereby relieving you of duty of Space Castle Commando. You were appointed at the beginning of this episode and I am here to relieve you.
Is he now Master in Space Castle Lieutenant? Is he demoted or just kicked out entirely?
He's no longer fit for command.
You can't stop me.
Oh my god, is this a mutiny?
Okay.
You cannot Alex, mutiny me.
Alex,
are you doing a reverse mutiny?
Are you holding on to power? I have the compass that leads to wherever I want.
I'm the one that programs Goldblum.
Okay.
I'll just have him steer the ship where I want to instead.
Goldblum can't have my compass.
It's wild but acceptable that you start in the top right quadrant. It is untenable that you don't finish a quadrant at a time. That's fucking weird, crazy shit to me. Dude. Yeah. Are you okay?
Alex, do you get halfway through a load of dishes and start vacuuming and then you just unplug the vacuum cleaner and then do the dishes again and then like...
He washes the bottom part of the plates. And then he cleans the stove, and then he washes the top part of the plate.
If while at work I spend longer than 5 minutes on one tab of a window, I must move on to the next tab.
I'm learning so much about how your brain works, Alex. I've known you for years, and this is all revolutionary to me.
This is revolutionary, and this is efficiency. This is what you're learning right now.
Are you sure? I'm going to need to check your math on that one, friend.
Your teeth brushing is the equivalent of those old family circus strips where like there was a dotted line where it followed the kid to the whole fucking neighborhood doing random shit before you finally got to the end. Like,
I'm going to add this to my list of titles. King Killer Dude, Plaque Killer.
Well, you're going to have one to replace Master and Space Castle Commander, so.
What do you mean? You can't strip me of my title. I'll still say it.
You are relieved.
You can't just take that away from me.
Stuart, I thought this was going to be a funny question, but it turned out
terrifying. The special secret room is now the brig, and we're putting Alex in there until
not the room, not the secret room. We can offload him anywhere but the secret room. Put me in an air duct. I don't care. Put me in the airlock.
I need everybody to like hop on Twitter and let us know where the fuck you start your toothbrushing.
And you're gonna be surprised to find out.
Well,
top right,
like. Does not finish quadrant before moving
that
on.
That is
like
the weird part.
An
man.
Adjective they would use on like making a murderer in Netflix. If I was playing Among Us and I was playing against Alex and somebody called a meeting, I would say, Alex does not finish a quadrant while brushing his teeth before moving on, and his ass would be knocked out of the fucking airlock. Like they would all vote against him.
This is equally as weird as if someone said, yeah, Alex brushes his teeth one tooth at a time. It's
no,
that's weird.
No, it's not. No. It's not the same.
Yeah.
Hey, different strokes of your toothbrush for different folks. Look, we're not scrutinizing the entire toothbrushing pattern of the two of you. If we went into that, it would be one most boring podcast.
One quadrant at a time, little circles, all the way around.
Yeah. That's great. You didn't have the buzzing toothbrush? You didn't have that bit?
I mean, I have a quip, not a sponsor.
Yeah, I've got a quip too. What color is your quip, Seth?
Mine is metallic teal blue.
Oh, you went with a fucking expensive one. I've got the cheap plastic one.
It's only like $30 or whatever for it. Like, I have long and storied teeth history, and I've spent several hundred dollars on a toothbrush before, so quips are easy.
Next, Alex is going to tell us he brushes his tongue first, and I'm just going to be completely fucking done.
No, I do not.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God.
You guys don't do...
Never mind. No, say it. You have to say it now. Say it. It's going to be gross. It's going to be fucking gross, isn't it?
You don't drink the Listerine first?
You don't drink the Listerine at all? Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, that's going to do it for this episode of Space Castle. It's your clubhouse and ours for all things nerdy. We want to thank our good friend, Brian Lovett, who's not a fucking maniac, for helping us co-write our theme song, D's Notes. We also want to invite you to become a Galactonaut on our Patreon at patreon.com/spacecastlepod. I'm not going to let Alex talk at all. I'm just going to skip over his fucking title.
He's been Alex. We're going to have to figure out what to do with him.
Time librarian. Still master in space commander.
I've been Seth.
Winnebago thief.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I am so sorry.
King killer dude.
This is yet Flat another killer. Episode I feel like I have to apologize for.
Molotov Doghammer.
I'm also DT.
Bye. Love you.
Pray for us.